Welcome to The Never Ending Startup by Dr. John Drain. At The Never Ending Startup Podcast, we inspire startups to learn how to navigate the future and realize their journey is circular and never ending. I'm Grace and I will be keeping you up to date with the latest episodes and upcoming topics, as well as Dr. John's insightful interviews with modern startups. In this episode, we are also proud to announce a special interview with Avril Dunn, who is the co-founder of EI Platform, which tracks and manages energy use in buildings. The EI Platform is an accelerator startup as part of the University of Newcastle's Integrated Innovator Network, or I2N. Avril describes the platform as being like a wearable device for a building, and it provides convenient and continuous access to business energy data in real time. The platform also integrates AI to provide smart data on energy use and is a powerful tool in the future of energy and sustainability. See our podcast page for more information on the startups we interview and their exciting profiles. Stay tuned also for updates on Dr. John's coaching and mentor program. The Never Ending Startup is both a podcast and an upcoming book. The podcast forms part of the book's promotion and release. The book and the podcast build a social and entrepreneurial framework for startup journey and longevity. See our podcast page for more information and updates also. The team and content include readings and reflections of passages of the upcoming book by Dr. John. It also includes outlines of key chapter themes by our in-house narrator, Noah. We hope you enjoy our exciting new podcast and it helps you navigate your startup journey.
Welcome back to the Never Ending Startup Podcast. I'm excited to welcome our guest to the podcast, who has created an accelerator startup as part of the University of Newcastle's Integrated Innovation Network, or I2N. I2N is an innovation hub which helps startups to develop their exciting new ideas into valuable commercial and social offerings. Our guest is Avril Dunn, who is the co-founder of EI Platform, which tracks and manages energy use in buildings. Avril describes the platform as being like a wearable device for a building, and it provides convenient and continuous access to business energy data in real time. The platform also integrates AI to provide smart data on energy use and is a powerful tool in the future of energy and sustainability. I've had the benefit of talking to Avril already from a business and research perspective about this exciting new energy offering, and it intersects with my interest in the more efficient and safe creation of buildings in general. Apartment towers. Now, we'll be learning more about this exciting innovation in the interview, but I'm also keen to learn about Avril's story, her inspirations and journey, and then ultimately, what about the future? So, welcome, Avril.
Thanks so much for having me, John.
Oh, fantastic to have you here, Avril. And as I said in the introduction, look, EI Platform is a really fantastic innovation that's going to help with the understanding and the sustainability in energy. But those are my words, and it's outside looking in. Can you just tell us a little bit, the listeners, about what EI Platform is in your own words?
Absolutely. The EI platform, or Energy Intelligence Platform, was really born out of a need to help businesses get better energy data. So in my view, energy is one of the lagging industries for digitization. And we just expect that we can plug devices in and they'll work. And then we get a bill at the end of the month or the quarter and you just pay it and off you go. But as everybody knows, energy prices have risen dramatically. And so we found this is a huge problem for business owners. In twofold, the cost, operational expense increasing, but also understanding of how their energy actually works and how their usage is actually managed. And are they using things to the best and highest efficiencies? And often it's no, because of our lack of understanding as a general population in terms of how energy and electricity works. So we saw that as a big pain point and an opportunity for us to help demystify that in a way and help businesses have tools and mechanisms to affect change on that operational cost level. And just to make things more efficient, if business isn't about anything else, it's about driving efficiencies. And it's a win-win, because then if you use less, then that benefits the environment on a, you know, local and global scale. So it's multifaceted, hitting the problem at multifaceted sides, multi-angle.
Okay, that's fantastic. Now, you're using the term businesses. So is that sort of like we're looking at the facility management of commercial and apartment towers? What's the scope of this offering?
Yeah, so businesses is a very broad umbrella, you're right. We are looking at strata management. So that's the strata management companies, businesses who manage multi-level unit buildings. That's a particular problem that we found with the introduction of electric vehicles and their charging requirements as a new device to the network. So they are very much a customer of ours, as well as, you know, small to medium enterprise in general. So we're looking at a large cross-section of building profiles, from doctor surgeries to childcare centers to multi-unit strata managed residential buildings to universities and hospitals. So we're trying to get a broad range of building profiles.
Are there any particular profiles that you're starting with, or are you hitting a series of them? How's that work?
Yeah, so we've had some really interesting conversations with a huge range of different building profiles. So the big one that we're seeing at the moment is the electrification of strata managed unit buildings. So that's electric hot water and electric vehicle installation. And how do we manage this growth of energy need on the network? So that's of particular interest at the moment. We're also looking at and having in talks with the Port of Newcastle and Newcastle Airport, as well as really interesting sites for us. Plus, we have 18 sites live at the moment, and that's of that cross-section that I mentioned previously.
Okay, great. Now, can you just explain the electric vehicle thing and how that's kind of changing the apartment strata thing? Can you help me with that one?
Yeah, certainly, John. So what happens is a strata managed unit building has infrastructure pre-existing. We're talking about buildings built roughly 30, 40 years ago. So they were built for purpose 40 years ago with the devices and electrical needs of the time. And so fast forward to today, we are adding new devices to the network, and the charging requirements and the load requirements of electric vehicles, for instance, is causing a huge problem for high-rise buildings just because of the sheer demand. If you imagine you've got, say, 40 units in the building, if all of them decide to add an electric vehicle in the next 2 to 5 years, then the network requirements and infrastructure requirements just aren't going to support that. So what we're doing and where we help those building profiles is by giving them an understanding of what the current capacity is, what does it look like, and how we can implement EV charging, and if it's a shared arrangement through visitor parking, for example, or how do we roll this out at a at a level that is going to meet the demand of modern society, but also manage the infrastructure that's there and look at what infrastructure is required to upgrade. And then once that's in place, if you have 5 electric vehicles charging, for example, you don't want them charging at 6 p.m. It's the most expensive time. So then building in demand management protocols to be able to then dial up and down the capacity of the chargers depending on the time of day use. So ideally you would charge overnight, or if it's a building that is equipped with solar panels, you would charge when the sun's shining, when energy is the cheapest. And so we look at all these contributing factors to make sure that once it is implemented and implemented in the right manner, then it's also managed on an ongoing basis that's going to be the most efficient as possible.
And that means that you've got 30, in some cases, 30 to 40 year old buildings that have got pretty basic old school infrastructure. So you're going to, is it part of what you offer to just advise on the new infrastructure, or are you actually helping with putting that in and things like that?
Yeah, so we're doing exactly that thing and helping to implement.
Okay, well, that's a great start in understanding how the AI platform works. And now we'd like to move on to the second part of the interview, which is really about the story so far. This brings us to the second segment, which is the story so far. Can you just for a minute or two just say, how did you get here? You know, this is an amazing achievement. You're an accelerator startup with I2N. It's fantastic. So can you just sort of, how did you get here?
Yeah, certainly, John. It's been a very fast and wild ride. We applied for the accelerator program through the I2N in June, July, and we really only had a concept. And so through that program and over the next 90 days, we took that concept from idea stage through to commercialization. So we had paid customers by the end of the program, and we were building out the business. So in terms of business timeline, it's extremely quick. So it's very fast and exciting. But my skills and background and expertise has always been in startups and scale-ups on the commercialization front. So building businesses and business ideas and business products from the ground up, and somewhat in an entrepreneurial way for other businesses. And so, yeah, this is not my first go at starting a business, but that's often the story of entrepreneurship. And I definitely want to make that point that, you know, you are growing and it's a journey and there's many different things. And they often say that you see the success, but you don't see the mountain that you're standing on of all the failures. So,
well, no, that's very interesting. And so you have entrepreneurial wiring. It's in your blood almost, and also experience in that, which is lovely to hear. And you've almost fast-tracked it. But the other thing is behind you, you didn't start the company, did you? Like the group you're with has been around for a little while or whatever, but then out of that you've grown a seed. Is that correct? Which is this new thing?
Yeah, exactly. So when we applied to the I2N Accelerator program, it was just a concept. There was an existing electrical engineering consulting business that then I came on board to help nurture this idea. And since then, we've grown it into a business, and we've actually spun that out all on its own as a separate entity, as a new business venture.
Okay, so we've covered the AI platform, what it's about, and the story so far. Let's move on into the next segment, which is about your inspiration. What inspired you? But, you know, one of the things that I ask, which is our next theme, is very simply, who inspired you to do this?
I would say no one in particular inspired me to do this particular project. However, my grandma is my inspiration. She was an adoptive grandma because my parents are immigrants and we had no family growing up here. And she had her own children, but they never had their own children. So she never had any grandchildren. And so listening to her story and the tenacity, her and her husband, who we lovingly call my grandfather as well, he was working for the intelligence section in World War II, and they were one of the first couples to be settled in Germany after the war. They're both passed away now, but they've had the most incredible life. And I think it was a blessing that she wasn't my direct relation because every story they told us was just incredible. And we just sat and soaked everything in like a sponge. So yeah, her willingness to overcome adversity and the tenacity it took to then immigrate to Australia. They were Scottish born, Shetland Islands. And yeah, their life story really inspires me to take challenges, try things that are new, try things that are uncomfortable, because that's how you grow and that's how you become, you know, a better person. And it is a bit cliche to say, but the best version of yourself as well. And I now have kids, and so that's what I'm really focused on.
Oh, that's so lovely. And I always love it in the interviews when there's a generational ancestor or something, and it takes us into a dive into history. All of a sudden, we're going from startups and accelerators and saving, and energy, and then
talking about World War II.
So that's really great. So, and just moving on from that story and to your grandma, what about just in your career life or your school life or whatever? Have there been people that have guided you into the area you are? So you're obviously creative, you're entrepreneurial. What else has happened there?
Honestly, John, my path has been very eclectic and not really by design or consciousness. So everything that I have done has been out of sheer interest and intrigue and me wanting to, I guess, scratch an itch that I think, well, that'd be cool. Let's just give that a try.
So I think that we'll just pause on that and go on to our next section, which is called Journey. Okay, look, that's great, Avril, and I'm really enjoying this, and I'm sure the listeners will be enjoying it as well. So our next section is called Journey, which is always an interesting thing. And so when I say journey, it might just be that, to get where you, to many people, it's like what you've done is amazing and you've achieved all this thing. But how hard has it been to get to this point? And is that a personal journey or maybe not so much the corporate journey and all that, but maybe they tie in? Can you just talk to that for a tick?
Yeah, for sure. Look, over my career of, 15, 16 years, give or take, there's definitely been failures and there's definitely been things that help you grow and help you, better plan and better anticipate. And I suppose it's like any skill. When you first start, you're always rubbish and you're going to make mistakes. But then as you get more and more proficient, things get easier and easier. And so I would probably say the journey overall so far for me personally has definitely been one of ups and downs. I think that's life. Yeah, I quite like that journey. And I suppose I'm probably in some way addicted to the ups and the downs and putting myself out there and experiencing probably higher highs and lower lows on this sort of a journey, because it's just the nature of how it comes to be. But I think as you get older, you definitely do get a sense or a better sense of what you want for yourself out of life and what that looks like in terms of how you spend your time and what you spend your time on. And so for me, this particular project at the moment and business is the next evolution of me as a business operator, as a business owner. And yeah, I'm gonna grow, another 10x, 100x through this process and being, along. And this time, that will be the next thing.
Sounds great. Something that you talked to me about earlier also is that you do have a creative bent, which is we all have a creative bent, but many of us don't know we have it. Some of it's are suppressed in us as in childhood. I know that was something that happened to me, and sort of it took me many decades to work out that I had any creativity. But I know that you've had a background in the creative area, and how's that? Can you talk to that just briefly, and also how does that help journey? Is that a good one to go over?
Yeah, I've always been quite creative from childhood, and I was lucky enough to be able to explore and develop that. I was very fortunate in that way. And I think that my creativity really ultimately led to understanding things better and understanding how things work, why they work, how things different in different elements and things interact, and how, or for example, the body moves and what happens when, you jump in dance, for example. I did ballet for many years and all forms of dance. And yeah, and then I think from childhood and being able to explore and develop that creativity, I found myself in the film and TV industry and in media. And that was really exciting and really creative, and being able to bounce ideas off people for campaigns and things like that. And but really, I see creativity as the cornerstone way to solve problems. And so, and to solve big problems, you've got to be creative, you've got to think outside of the square. And that's why I guess I'm grateful for having experience across multiple different industries, because my way of looking at things is so different, with different lenses that you can apply from different industries and different experiences in life. And so for younger people, I think that something that I didn't love was I was pressured to perform well at school, and I think I put too much pressure then on myself to perform well. And so I think the younger generation probably get too caught up in all of that, and none of that matters. I think if young people have the social skills to behave in a group and know how to work as a team and be able to communicate, then the rest is history. And all of the skills and technical nous and things that I've developed has been purely for me exploring out of interest and curiosity, essentially. And so, yeah, I suppose for me, creativity is curiosity, because then you can explore different avenues and different ideas. And I think that's probably why I'm addicted to the entrepreneurial journey at large.
Well, that's a good point in this segment, and to introduce the next segment, which is about future. So which brings us sort of like we're heading towards the sort of end of the our journey section. One thing I ask all my interviewees, or most of them, is when I say the word journey, what song do you think of and why?
Mine's a little bit out there, and I'll explain why in a moment. But the song is "I Will Survive" by Gloria Gaynor. And now the song talks about a breakup, so it's obviously not from an emotional or relationship level. But it's more, the first lyrics are, "First I was afraid, first I was petrified," and I think that is so true of starting anything new, whether it be a new job, a new school, going to university for the first time, or starting a business, right? Everything just feels, when it's new, threatening. And it goes to what we were saying before about the survival function of the brain and the executive function of the brain. And so our brains are actually wired for us to seek security, to seek safety, to seek survival. And so one thing that really resonates with me is, I will, first I was afraid, first I was petrified, is that, sorry, John, I'm just going to turn off this alarm and I can pick that up again. So mine's probably a little bit more left of field, John, but the song is "I Will Survive" by Gloria Gaynor. You will get through it.
Well, I think it's wonderful to have that self-understanding, and I love that song. It's kind of kick-ass, though, isn't it? You know, let's go. It's actually scary, okay? Right? But we're okay. Look, let's leave this section, which is journey, and we'll go on to the next section, which is called the future. We're in our next section. In fact, it's the last section, which is called the future. And the question is, what philosophy guides you forward? And we don't need to think of philosophy as sort of some academic thing. It might be values and beliefs and wisdoms and things like that. So can you talk to that?
Yeah, certainly. I love philosophy. It's something that as I get a little bit older, and have some experience to reflect upon, that I, want to not get into the danger land of, they call it mental masturbation or what have you. But the philosophies that I probably work to or think of is that anytime you want to shortcut something, anytime you think that there's a faster and easier way, the work just needs to be done. The work needs doing. It's still there. So, I think that that's something that is a personal philosophy of mine in terms of, and then secondary to that, the work works on you more than you work on it. So I've divorced the action from the outcome, because the outcome, if I focus on the action, then the outcome will inevitably happen. It's just whether my expectation of it happening in 3 weeks versus 3 months versus 3 years. That's an expectation. So I love playing the philosophical games in my head of these sort of things at the moment, because I think, if you focus on the work being the goal, and for example, I had to do a presentation at the I2N Accelerator demo night, and it was a 5 minute presentation, and I put in over 150 hours into that 5 minute presentation, which I didn't think I would do at the time. I thought I would knock it over in 2 days. It's 5 minutes. How hard could it be? And then the deeper and deeper I got, the more nuanced things get. And so I think in that respect as well, an ethos of mine that I have on the back of my phone is volume negates luck. And so if you do the volume,
Volume negates luck.
luck.
Okay,
Yes.
got it. Yep, sorry.
Yeah. So if you put the volume in, you don't need luck, because if you do 100 cold calls a day, 500 cold calls a week, like you're gonna get business out of that. So you don't need to be lucky. You don't need to be, in the right place at the right time, meeting the right person. It's just if you've got the volume, the work needs doing, you just roll the sleeves up, sit down, and brute force your way through it.
Fantastic. Well, I think we'll leave it on that point. Thank you so much for taking time to talk to me. I'm looking forward to seeing how EI platform goes and staying in touch in the future.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on, John. It's also a great honor for me as well to speak to somebody of your, experience and expertise. So thank you for the invitation. It's been a real pleasure.
Well, that's lovely. Thank you, Avril.
Thanks for visiting the Never Ending Startup Podcast. Dr. John's book by the same name is upcoming, and this podcast and its episodes provide a summary of the book and its audience, reach, and objectives. I will be keeping you up to date on the latest episodes, startup interviews, events, and offerings that Dr. John provides, like coaching, his latest book release, and webinars. See our podcast page for more information on the startups and their exciting profiles. We would love to hear from you, and simply go to johndrain.net and to the contact form on the sidebar. Don't forget to answer our 3-question drop-down quiz about this podcast to get your 25% discount code that can be applied to our webinars and coaching sessions. See our podcast page on johndrain.net. It is spelt JONDRANE.NET. We inspire startups to learn how to navigate the future and realize their journey is circular and never-ending.